Hello and welcome to Tank Nuts. My guest today is Nikki Scott, the founder of Scotty's Little Soldiers, the charity for bereaved British Forces children. Hi, Nikki. Firstly, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us. And could you probably, you know, kick us off by, you know, give us a bit more information about the charity?
Yeah, cool. So thank you for having me. This is a really good piece of awareness for Scotty's. So Scotty's Little Soldiers was a charity, or is a charity, that I set up in memory of my husband, Lee, who was killed in Afghanistan in 2009. And the charity supports bereaved British Forces children and young people. That's kind of it in a nutshell.
So, Nikki, I'm assuming this is just for the army, but I think I'm wrong here, aren't I?
You are, yeah. So,
I am.
My service. Yeah. It's easily done, though. And lots of people do just think it's for the army. I think because of the name, which was a kind of a personal touch and reference to Lee. So, he was known as Scotty in the army and called Kai's Little Soldier. So, that's the name. But actually, yeah, try service. You know, and also cause of death doesn't matter, you know, marital status of the parents doesn't matter. You know, it's all irrelevant. What matters is that that child is receiving the right support. And the other thing I will just touch on, because can sometimes be a bit unclear, is if the person that died was a veteran at the time, there is still potential that Scotties can help that child as well. We just look into how much of the military element and lifestyle that child experienced, because at Scotty's everything we do is to help a bereaved child, but it's also to bring that military connection back. And there's a, you know, if that child hasn't experienced that military lifestyle or that connection with the military, it can be quite confusing and could potentially have a damaging impact. So we just make sure, yeah, that they've experienced that military lifestyle, because, you know, even a support worksheet, we will take a support worksheet and we'll Scottify it, we call it. So there's a bereavement worksheet called the first aid kit, and it's used by lots of bereavement specialists and practitioners. And it's all about looking at when you're feeling emotional and low, it's about looking, taking that first aid kit out and looking at what helps you feel better. But we've made it a Scotty Bergen, and it's a military backpack, and just things like that. Everything has a touch on the military and where that parent has come from. So it's really important that if their parent was a veteran, they have that connection. But yeah, I'd definitely say if someone knows of a bereaved forces child, then just get in touch and we can help. If we can't support them, then we'll definitely do our best to signpost them.
How did the whole concept sort of come around then, Nikki?
It was... basically, after Lee was killed, I saw the effects that his death had on our two young children, Kai and Brooke. Especially Kai, he was only 5 at the time. Brooke was only 7 months old. So I've realised now, as I've learned more and more about childhood bereavement, that actually, you know, even tiny babies will be affected by the death of a parent. But actually back then, very much my focus was on Kai, you know, 5 years old, and was really struggling. And I didn't quite realise how much he'd been affected until about 9 months after. And my cousin basically nagged and nagged and nagged at me to go on a holiday with her, which was the last thing I wanted to do as a single mum at the airport. All those thoughts going around your head, felt guilty for going away. But now I look back and think, thank goodness she, you know, pushed me to go on that, because actually just having that time away, and I relaxed and then Kai relaxed. And it was then where I sort of, it sounds really, I don't know, cheesy and cliche, but I sat and watched Kai in the swimming pool and he was laughing with his cousins. And I suddenly had a bit of a wake up moment of, I think that's probably the first time in 9 months he has properly laughed and I've seen the old Kai. And then I started to think, you know, how many other, you know, children have experienced the death of a parent who served our country. You know, there must be more, and what support is there for Kai? And I could hear Lee moaning at me saying, get yourself together now, Nick, this is, you know, it's been 9 months and you are, you know, you're not living, Kai needs you. And I just, yeah. So I came back from that holiday and started to do a bit of research, spoke to my family and friends who I think probably thought I was crazy and just grieving, but never told me that. They were 100% behind me and said, we'll do whatever you need us to do. And yeah, I just realised there was very limited support for bereaved British Forces children. So that's kind of where the idea for Scotty's came. And at the beginning, I just wanted enough money to have a holiday home so that bereaved forces families could have that break that I had. And it kind of just grew from then. And, you know, we've got four programs now full of activities and services that support the needs of bereaved children and young people. So, yeah, it's growing.
You're right, Nikki, because I thought when we arranged to have a chat, I was obviously doing research, and we've got, I mean, there is probably hundreds of thousands of charities, let's face it, throughout, especially the UK. And when you look at the veterans ones, it is all veterans, isn't it? And there was I couldn't find anything else that even came close to sort of like dealing with the children. And I have to say, I spoke to you before we went on air, and, you know, it sort of made me think back to my time in the army. And it was, you know, I sort of felt a little bit guilty about the fact that I'm not saying you can't prepare somebody for it, of course, what you've been through and what your family's been through. But I never once crossed my mind to actually sit down with my wife and say, you know, there is a very small possibility that this next operational tour or something, you may not come home. So is everything in order? You know, are you prepared for that? I'm sure you could never be prepared for it. But, you know, from the very sort of, I don't know, just things like the boring side, the paperwork and that sort of thing. For some reason, it's always something which has worried me that my other half is absolutely dreadful with everything. And I thought, you know, to leave her alone to deal with all of the aspects of finances and everything as well would make me feel really bad. Do you, were the regiment, Lee served in the RTR, of course, were the regiment really supportive at the time?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because when you said to me that before we went on air, I remember Lee coming back one day and he ran in the house and he was like, I guess he'd been, it was just before he went and he'd had a bit of a briefing and they'd been sorting out their wills, I think. And he made a joke of, oh, if I die, if I snuff it, I think was his words, you'll be laughing. Like, and I was just like, Lee. And then I remember him saying, on a serious note, do you want me to write you a last letter? And I shot him down straight away. And I remember saying, I don't ever want to hear you talk about that. Now I look back and think, I wish he had done that actually, because that would have brought me quite a lot of comfort and would have given me a bit of direction. Because the tough thing was, well, there was lots of tough things, obviously, but you're right in that all of a sudden you're a single parent and all the decisions are on you and you're probably making some of the most important decisions of your life and your children's lives. And you haven't got that one person there to go, what do you think? The pressure felt, massive. I remember, you know, not even thinking about where we're going to live because we're in a married quarter right now and that's not our home. More just everything around the children, that it was really quite, although I had amazing friends and family and RTR were, I couldn't fault them. They rallied round and only Lee's squadron had gone. So most of the regiment were still in Tidworth where we were based. So in that way, I felt like I had a lot of support around me. But, you know, you're that one person that can make those decisions on everything, the funeral, you know, repatriation. There is so much to think about. So if Lee had written that last letter, even on a personal, to help me give a bit of direction to the children, it actually probably would have helped me. But you're right. No one wants to. You never, ever think it's going to be you.
How as a soldier as well? How do you write that sort of letter as a soldier? I mean, to put yourself in that position, there'd be a million and one things you'd want to say, but incredibly hard. You mentioned there about the Army Corps, and again, it crossed my mind there because, you know, I've had friends who've been in the same situation as you, and you know, I know it's sort of like it must be very difficult for the MOD to deal with that because, of course, from a very black and white perspective, as you said, you know, you're no longer entitled to that armed forces quota. But surely there must be some dispensation to say, look, you know, if you want to stay there for the foreseeable future. I've heard a few horror stories about it, and I don't know how true it is. And maybe it boils down to, like you say, the particular regiment. And obviously, you know, I love the RTR. It was my home for 30 years. So I'd like to think they looked after everybody. But do you think from an MOD perspective, there was more that they could have done at that stage? Or
I tend to not look back too much on that because I just think I'm quite a positive person now, not back then. But and I like to think, you know, what can I do to make this better now? Hence the charity. And I try not to think about all the bad, you know, the bits that weren't as good as they should have been, or I do what I can to improve that for other families. So. And I hear, like you have, mixed stories from our families that we support, you know, some horror stories. I count myself really lucky, or, you know, how it should be, that RTR were brilliant. And my VO was spot on. Like, I had an amazing VO. that I'm still in touch with now. He's like another dad to me. And I think that makes a huge difference as well. If you can get on with your VO, that makes a massive difference. So he was really good at picking times when he told me information and holding back information until he knew I was in a better place or, you know, ready for that piece. And but yeah, house-wise, I mean, I never got told you've got to leave. I know before me, it was a lot quicker. I stayed in the house for a year and then I probably would have been pushing being told, but I never actually got told when you've got to go. And I left when I, you know, part of me, it's really weird. You want to stay there because that's where your memories are. That's where Lee is with me and the children. That's where our home was. And you almost feel like, I'm not leaving here because if I leave here, people are going to forget about Lee. And I had that mindset at the time. Then there got to a point where I think for Kai, seeing welcome home banners and, you know, dads picking him up from school, picking their kids up from school in uniform and a bit, I felt like it was okay, now's the right time. But there is, yeah, there's no wrong or right. Every family's got to do what feels best for them. But I think I stayed for a year and I didn't feel the pressure to leave. But there are, yeah, there's little things. The rent stops and you get charged full whack and there's little bits that you think, come on, my husband has just died for the country you're like, you know, putting this on me. But yeah, RTR were brilliant.
That moment, Nikki.
I will just say that I didn't leave the married quarter 100% how I should have done.
I wasn't going to say that.
I was like, I'm not painting this.
How was your cooker cleaning and all the rest of it?
Yeah. Nikki, I reckon RTR went in after me.
Oh, bless. No, that's good to hear because that was always, for those that aren't aware, it's just, I don't know how you describe the handover of a quarter. It's an absolute nightmare, isn't it? It's, you know, again, I was talking to civvy friends that I've got and tried to explain to them, they come round and, you know, it is literally with the white glove. I don't know if it's still the same, but certainly my, and we always used to buy our own cooker because that was the one thing that was just an absolute nightmare to clean, wasn't it? So, yes. Nikki, that moment when, I mean, obviously all you had to deal with at that particular time, but I mean, I cannot even begin to imagine, you say Kai was five at that point, wasn't he? How do you break that sort of news to a five-year-old? I mean, it just doesn't bear thinking about.
No, it was, I wish I knew now, I wish back then I knew what I know now. And I probably would have done some things quite different. But I think you have to just go with what you think at the time is right. Kai has learning difficulties. So, and back then we weren't quite sure what they were. He wasn't fully diagnosed with autism at that point. But I knew I had to be really clear, very straight with Kai. I didn't want to give him that false hope of and confuse him. So I was quite blunt with how I said it. It's just the worst. It is probably the worst thing I've ever had to do. Yeah, to sit. I just sat him on the bed and told him that I said to him, do you remember where daddy is? And he said, yeah, Afghan. And I said, I know I said daddy's going to come home, but now daddy's never, ever going to come home because there's been an incident and the baddies have killed him. And then and I remember saying to him, you know, he's gone to heaven. And I was crying and I just remember he cried, but I don't think he knew at all what it was. A couple of days later when he started to talk to one of our friends actually and asked like, what is heaven? And you're like, yeah, fair one. Yeah.
And did you find that sort of afterwards that he became it sort of changed at all, or was he quite accepting, or was it a sort of different little for a while?
Yeah, I think he did. He really changed, actually. And just like adults, you know, went through different emotions. I can look back on it now and think, yeah, the anger was there, the tantrums, horrific nightmares. So the anxiety, like Lee put Kai to bed, said goodnight, and then that, in the middle of the night left for his tour. So Kai had a big issue with going to sleep on his own. And then as time went on, he actually withdrew. And that's where I realised he just wasn't, you know, wasn't really talking, wasn't playing. Yeah, just literally wasn't Kai anymore. And I know, you know, what I've learned now that children, they call it like paddle jumping. And I love this term because they kind of, one minute you can be saying, they could be happy playing. And the next minute they're like, where did my dad die? How did my dad die? And then the next minute they're like, all right, yeah, and off playing again. And Kai did a lot of that. And, but yeah, it can, it never ever stops. It's the one thing I say, even now, you know, my children, Kai's now just turned 18 and Brooke's 13, and Brooke was obviously 7 months, but she has asked the same questions that Kai asked at 5 and 6 when she was 5 and 6, even though it was years on. And she now asked me really tough questions and wants more information. So as they grow, they want to know bits more about what happened. And yeah, so I just try and be as honest as I can, but it's, yeah, horrific, to be honest.
Yeah, so no, fast forward, the idea for the charity, you said you're away on holiday and you sort of looked at that. Now, I can only imagine how difficult is it to sort of like get the ball rolling. So you had this idea that you wanted to obviously support children of brave British forces. But how do you actually sort of take it from just an idea to going forwards?
Oh, gosh. It was hard work. It's a lot more than what you think. I had a big fundraising event. We wanted a bench that's in Tidworth Cemetery actually now. And because he was buried in King's Lynn back where the family are. So wanted something where we weren't for the lads. And so we raised money for that. And actually the support was unbelievable. And we raised, like, we had £5,000 left after we bought that bench. So that was kind of my starting point. I was going to donate it to a children's charity with a military, you know, exactly like Scotty's, but couldn't really find anything. So that was what we used as a starting base. And then it's working with the charity commission to make sure your, you know, your mission and your objectives are really clear. And I think we were quite, did quite well, myself and my family, because we were really clear with what we wanted to do, how we wanted to help and who we wanted to help. And I think that's the key. But yeah, it's taken, you just learn every day. I mean, I worked in bars and nursery schools before this. So yeah, you just learn every day. And it's been, I think, as I've gone along the path, I've realized I can't do everything myself, and you have to put your trust in people. People have different skill sets. It's definitely been a learning curve, but a lot harder than I ever thought it would be. Took over my life.
I can only imagine. Because we, you know, I have to say, obviously, I think in particular, us in the UK, we are, you know, pretty much swamped with charities, aren't we? I mean, there is just so much. And I know for the company I work for now, World of Tanks, that when we were looking at supporting a charity, it was really hard work to find a charity that you know, because I have to say that one of the things, my stipulations for it was I didn't want a CEO of a charity that was, you know, driving a Ferrari and earning sort of £200,000 a year or mm-hmm. something, because to me it didn't quite sit very well. But I have to say, Nikki, when, you know, obviously we looked at yours and did research on it, it was just, I heard nothing but positivity. And that's quite unusual about a charity, because if you dig hard enough, for a lot of organisations, you can always find something which, you know, doesn't sit right. How do you, Nikki, for the for other families, how do you make that first approach then? I mean, how do they become aware of your charity? And then sort of how do you draw that bridge between the two of you?
Yeah, so it's been a lot of, basically a family will get in contact with us, or a VO, or maybe someone at a school, they'll contact us and start that initial conversation. And then we send a form. And again, the membership form.
Sorry, you know, Nikki, VO. What?
Oh, sorry. Visiting VO? Officer. Sorry.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Like family's officer visiting used officer. To be. Must have changed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah. Sorry. I thought you guys would get them terms. No. Yes. So obviously when someone dies, yeah, you get appointed your visiting officer, your VO. So we get a lot of those guys contact us, which is brilliant. And I think it's our social media, it's our website. We've just looked at the journey that a bereaved family would be on, and really tried to focus. And we've worked with, you know, the MOD with the purple pack. So when someone dies within the military, the family received this purple pack. It's basically got lots of information in it. And it took a long time before Scotty's got the credibility to be able to put our information in that pack. So it's just took a lot of, okay, well, we're not going anywhere, and this is the work we do. And if, you know, if different people can't commit to support us, we'll do it ourselves and show you. And then eventually they come on board and are part of the journey with us, which is kind of how we've always, it's a bit like what you were talking about earlier about, you know, the positivity. We're so transparent. We try and show our supporters everything we're doing, the behind the scenes. Anyone can ask anything they want, because it's supporters' money that we're using to help the children. So it's really important for us. But yeah, most of the time families will come to us And then they complete their membership form. And again, that membership form is, we have to ask some tough questions. Obviously, we have to do a bit of a background check on certain things. But even the form, the way it's written, you know, we're sorry to have to ask some of these tough questions. And, you know, it's just, and it's bright and it's colourful and it's really easily laid out, because I remember the amount of forms I had to fill in and it was just text and text. And so we try and think of everything that will make it a little bit easier. And then once they become members, so the children become a member of Scotties. And then the idea is that Scotties is there throughout their whole childhood into adulthood up to the age of 25, because we know that bereavement never goes away. You know, it comes back at different stages of your life. So it's, they join and they become a member, and we support that child, yeah, throughout their childhood and dip in at those points when they need us most.
And what sort of, like you say, you know, support them, but what sort of support?
Yeah. So it turned in, it's all grown so organically. Nothing was ever like, yeah, we should do this and we should do this. Apart from that first holiday home, everything has come from speaking to the families, which is what I love, because then you know the needs there, and that's what the families need. So we've got four programs. They're called Smile, Support, Strides and Springboard. All begin with an S. That just happened. And Smile.
I said I was going to ask, was there some sort of like great reasoning behind that? Obviously not.
But now I must admit, when we got to the Springboard program, we were like, it needs to begin with an S. Because yeah. But the Smiles program is the fun and engagement stuff. And actually it is fun stuff. So it's your holidays. It's a big Christmas party where they all come together. It's, we send gifts and vouchers at the tough times of the year so that the children feel remembered and that they haven't ever been forgotten, and not so isolated. But actually we realize that fun and engagement stuff is so important, because that builds the trust. And then when the families have got that constant engagement, you know, every birthday, every anniversary of their parents' death, they receive something from us. They build that trust. So when those really difficult times come, they can pick up the phone to us or text us, get in touch, and it's not quite as scary. And then that kind of moves into our support program. So the support program is now, we offer, you know, resources, information to help the parents and carers to help their children, but also we offer direct one-to-one support. So we've got a support worker, Mark, who will do bereavement support sessions online, just like this. COVID has mega helped with that, because now families are a lot more, you know, children are so up with doing it. You're like, oh yeah, okay. So we give them the option.
Much better than us,
about the
yeah.
option, but yeah. we give them the choice of you can speak to Mark online, or we can find you someone nearer to your house, but it won't be Scotties, but we can help facilitate that. So that's kind of the support program. Also very heavy around remembrance, lots of resources, videos, things to help them in their schools at remembrance. So it's a really tough time. And then Strides is all about education and development. So helping build their, you know, their resilience, helping their self-esteem, pick them back up and praise them for their achievements, I guess. So we offer grants and we support them within schools around like exam times and things like that. And then the Springboard program is our newest program, and that's for the 18 to 25 year olds. So we call them our Springboarders. And that's very much about them meeting other young adults. That's a real tough time, actually. It's the last program we've done, but we realized that when they turned 18 and we were kind of saying, see you later, not quite like that, because they often volunteered or kept in touch. But actually they were telling us that, do you know what? That's actually a really tough time of life, where I'm going to uni and I'm leaving my mum and my sibling, and I've been the man of the house, that old saying. And there was quite a lot going on at that time in your life. And we thought, do you know what? There's probably some support that we can do to help them. So that's what our Springboard does. It's all about life skills and helping them, yeah, move forward.
Wow. Nikki, you've mentioned all the time. It's obviously, you know, you've obviously said that a few times.
It's all, I talk and talk and talk and talk.
You said about the children, but obviously, I mean, there must be, surely you get the parents as well, who, you know, mum or dad, I assume, who yep. contacts you as well and says, because you've been there and you've been through what they're, you know, about to go through. So, I mean, surely the default is also, I know it's all about Scottish little soldiers, but also there must be a bit with, you know, you helping the adult side of it as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so we're quite clear that we're, you know, a charity for bereaved forces children and young people. But yeah, you're right. If you can help the parent to be able to help support that child, then that's, you know, if the child's seeing the parent not in a good way, it's yeah, they're going to be concerned about their parents. We definitely have that. And we have, you know, a private website where the families log on, and that's where they can book their breaks, send us messages, private Facebook page where the parents and carers chat to each other and help, which is amazing. They help support each other and build that community, really. And yeah, I think that's why I sit very much on the families team, so that I can keep champion what bereaved families need. And it is really important to the families that they know that, you know, within the charity, there is someone that's been through it and can help in any way I can, really, from what I've learned and experienced along the way, I guess.
Yeah, but don't you think that, I mean, like most things in life, it's always somebody's had that experience before. There's nothing that beats that. I think it doesn't matter how much training you've had, but you cannot possibly train to, you know, appreciate what you know they are going through, like you can, like nobody else. What's the plan to the future then, Icky, for the charity? I mean, it's been running, good heavens, so how many years now?
12
years. Yeah. I was going to try to work it out then. Yeah, 12 yeah. years.
It is. It's amazing, actually. Every year we're like, this is our year. Like, we're going to push even harder. But it's interesting because we've got a really strong team now at Scotties, and it's really good. And we're all so passionate, but we've now got like a bit of a plan, and we're like a 5-year plan, and we know where we want to be. And the idea is that actually we probably won't grow the programs further, but what we want to do is just make them the best they can be, and then reach more and more children, young people, because there's so many more still out there that don't yet know about Scotties. And that is, for us, the big goal is to be able to, by 2030, be supporting annually like 1,000+ children. And just doing things like this, you know, is a big campaign for this year and next year, pushing it out so we can reach and tell families that we're here to help them if they need it. So yes,
I must think, exciting. Yeah, I mean, it must be the awareness, because as I said, it wasn't until in fact it was when I was meeting up with the RTR, I happened to see some, you know, like merchandise and things from you. I thought, what's Scotty's Little Soldiers all about? And of course, obviously with Lee's picture and the RTR berry and cat badge and everything, it sort of sunk home with me. So yeah, you're right, the awareness for it all. Nicky, so how can we help? How can the general public help? What can we do?
Well, there's loads of ways. Obviously, you know, the big old, you need funds to be able to run the charity and do the work we do. So, you know, people can donate or get involved and fundraise. We have lots of challenges going on as well, and something for everyone as well. So, but actually, rather, you know, far more than that, to be fair, is the awareness. So sharing our posts on our social media page, talking to us, you know, I always say, you know, if you go away now today, this is a task for you, Richard. If you go away today and tell five people about Scotty's Little Soldiers that didn't know about us, that's raising our awareness, you know, and hopefully they'll go away and tell more people, because we just, yeah, we want to find these children and young people because we know we can help them. So yeah, sharing our posts, liking our pages, you know, but there's so much, yeah, we've got merchandise for sale. So wearing a hoodie out and about, there's so many little things that you could do that actually do make a big difference.
And all this information, of course, I will put it on, a link on the podcast. It's all on your main page, obviously, so I'll link all that on there. Nicky, thank you so much. It's absolutely, I mean, it's been ages since I wanted to have a chat with you about all of this. It's just, it's been a bit crazy, isn't it, the last couple of years with one thing and the other.
Yeah.
Really wish you all the best. You know, I'm sure we'll talk again after this. And again, for everybody, please, I would link Nicky's page on there, Scotty's Little Soldiers. Make sure you support it. Why not give them some money? But like Nicky says, at least raise awareness for it. And for you, Nicky, thank you firstly so much for all that you have done. Really appreciate it. I genuinely wish that I'd known Lee, to be honest. We must have sort of crossed paths because I embarked on my recruiting career as he was sort of like in the regiment. As I said, you know, I'm really pleased to hear about the RTR boys, that they've been so supportive, because, you know, it is like a big family. And I have to say, going on Civvy Street, I do miss the people more than anything else. Not so much the army and everything that involves, but I miss the people. And we just want to wish you all the best. Yeah. Just wish you all the best, Nikki, and all the best to you, the children as well, of course. So thank you so much for joining us, and look after yourselves. And to everybody out there, again, thank you for tuning in. Until next time, take care.